When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we get started, I want to tell you about Dodge. This spring, the Brotherhood of Muscle is looking for new members, and the only way to join is to get behind the wheel of Dodge's only family of all-wheel drive muscle cars. The Dodge Charger, the only muscle car in its class to throw you back in your seat with 300 horsepower and still get 30 miles per gallon. You know, the Dodge Challenger, you know, the groundhog didn't see its shadow. It heard the rev of the most affordable V8 in its class. And the Dodge Journey, maximize your adventure with the most powerful third-row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. And certainly the Dodge Durango, tear through April showers with the most powerful SUV with all-wheel drive availability in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and we got Goldberg calling in today because he's, as we record this, still kind of traveling back from an epic weekend in New Orleans for the WWE Hall of Fame induction and WrestleMania. Bill, how's it going, man?
Well, you know, it was a great weekend, man. I'm trying to shake everything off right now. It was a surreal experience. And at the end of the day, I feel as though I'm still out till 4:30 in the morning with David Arquette drinking tequila right now.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was going to ask you about that because, first of all, it looked like, just seeing the pictures posted from you and everybody out there, what an epic weekend. So it started off with the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. You were, I guess, the headliner for that, the headlining inductee for that. And then WrestleCon, right? It's like a giant, it's like the Comic-Con of wrestling Saturday. So I'm sure there's a lot of meeting fans and stuff. And then did you stick around to watch WrestleMania as well on Sunday?
Well, yeah. I mean, they introduced us in the middle of the show, the Hall of Fame inductees. And yeah, I pretty much bolted immediately after that. I couldn't stay around, man, because it's like being a football player hanging out on the sidelines when you're ready to go in and there's no place for you. So it was an interesting weekend. I'm greatly appreciative of the accolades. There's no question about it. But, you know, it's kind of bittersweet a little bit.
You know, so I'm looking at some of your Instagram posts from the Hall of Fame ceremony. Looking sharp, by the way, big guy. Looking sharp.
Well, thank you, man. You know, I dress up okay every once in a while. You got to do what you got to do.
I saw Gage was there. Wanda was there. Everybody looked fantastic. Everybody had big smiles on. Doing the Hall of Fame ceremony, it's got to get a little emotional, though, right? Because it's really kind of looking back and on the industry, what you've done for it. Maybe you start to really feel the impact you've had in wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. You try to compose yourself. You put together a speech that, you know, doesn't have too many triggers in it, you know, that's going to get your tears flowing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it was very difficult to go up there and express in a short synopsis, you know, 20 minutes or less, tried to be 10 minutes or less, you know, what the business means to you, what my experience has meant to me and who I can thank. And, you know, I mean, I could have spent 20 minutes or 20 hours thanking the fans.
Yeah.
It's a really tough situation where you got to hit everybody, but you got to be conscious of the time and the placement. I mean, it was almost midnight when I went out there. It was tough. So you always forget people. You always forget to say something. The fact is, it's just an extremely difficult situation to try to encapsulize what the business and the people associated with it meant to you.
Yeah. Now, I would say for a lot of people that do this, for past inductees, a lot of it kind of feels like the end of the book, you know, the cherry on the cake. But knowing you, you've always lived by this never say never kind of mantra. And I'm not saying there's a future wrestling or another match or something, but I mean, did this feel like the end of the book, or you still always kind of have that never say never attitude?
Until I have a foot in the grave and I have the ability to jackhammer everybody in that building, like I said, I don't think I'm done.
Right.
The fact is that you have to look at it from a business perspective and a legacy perspective. You know, it has to be the right time, right reason, you know, right opponent. If I never did it again, I'm at peace. But the fact is that I'm still in pretty tremendous shape for being 51 years old, man. I mean, I might be in better shape than I was last year at this time.
Well, so
and
that
it's just the thing that drives me every day. You know me, I always want to be you're only as good as your next project. So,
you know, that's a big thing what you're talking about there. Your physical shape is, I don't know, arguably for 90% of the wrestlers, I don't know what the statistic is, 90% of the athletes that participate in this, that's what ends their career. There's, you know, there's a lot of guys with, you know, neck injuries and shoulder injuries and back injuries where they just physically can't do it anymore. I mean, you can run around the ring and you can talk a game, but that's not anything you ever did in the past. Like, if you were ever going to go in the ring again, you were going to bring it. And I don't see you doing anything other than 100% in the ring. And like you're saying, like right now, like I can see the only thing taking you out of the ring permanently would be a physical issue, but still, you've always taken such great care of yourself. It's always been a high priority for you, and knock on wood, you've managed this well. But you know, look, you've got a lot of friends in that business. The Hulk Hogan's, the Steve Austin's of the world. Those guys are they're a little tough for them to get in the ring and start throwing people around. Like, I mean, we love those guys, but for them to throw around Brock Lesnar like you did not too long ago would be pretty much impossible, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. Fortunately, you know, like during my winning streak, 173-0, I didn't accumulate many injuries because I was destroying people. You know, my character is such that I didn't take the punishment, I gave it out. So
yeah,
as far as my durability as a character, that lends itself well to, you know, me continuing to do it. Now, the biggest part of it is, at 51 years old, can you still portray that big monster that you were, you know, in the past? And I still got that guy in my mind. Do I have him physically? I don't know, but I still think, hey, just like I said in Santa Sleigh, where I met my beautiful wife, it ain't over till I say it's over.
Yeah.
And so I don't like anybody pushing me to tell me, if somebody says, oh, you're done, well, guess what? That gives me the inclination to work my ass off to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
So, but again, man, I mean, I got Knife or Death coming up, new show coming out. I got a new, not necessarily a new lease on life, but another entity to occupy my time and further advance my career. I'm very fortunate. I'm associated with a wonderful podcast and a wonderful co-host in you.
Thank you, brother.
I got a lot of cool things coming up, man. And this is just the beginning, you know.
You're right. There's so many things that you're working on right now. Oh, in the past shows, we've touched on them quite a bit. The shows you're working on, the commercials that you're doing, it keeps growing. By the way, you mentioned Forge and Fire, Knife or Death, which is an epic title, by the way. I love that. This is April 16th on the History Channel. It's already showing up on on the cable guides and TV guides. So set your DVRs, go to your History Channel, find it, search for Forged in Fire, Knife or Death. April 16th is the first episode. Set your DVR to record that that series and check it out. I think you guys are going to dig it. We've seen some clips from it, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know you're really excited about it. And I remember calling you and texting you as you were doing it, and you're like, "This thing is huge." It
was bitching, man. It was first of all, I think it's the 17th. I think it's Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Have to check the guides for that. I'm not sure, but those are the dates that I was given. But we'll post them on the site. But I'm not going to embellish, but it's a cross between the existing Forged in Fire and Ninja Warriors. the caveat is that they don't run from obstacle to obstacle, so there is no speed, no danger with these people running with their blades. But, when that timer goes off on the beginning of each obstacle, these people are hauling ass to make it to the finish line. And it's really visually spectacular. There's a lot that goes into it. 50% of these people forge their own blades, so they have a connection with their blade. But at the end of the day, it's visual spectacularness. It's going to be really fun, man. It was a lot of fun shooting it, and I'm very excited to see what everybody thinks of the series.
Yeah, well, we're excited to check it out. My DVR guide said the 16th, but we'll just double check that. Just set it to record all new episodes as it's coming up, and check that out. So again, on sort of this epic WWE weekend. So you did the induction ceremony. Who were some of the other inductees, or did you get to catch up with some friends you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, the inductees are people that I have, obviously rubbed shoulders with throughout the years. It's always great to rekindle relationships with people that you haven't seen in a while. We have Gage and Wanda backstage like we were, a year ago. Brought back some cool memories. It was great for Gage to rub shoulders with the people that he had befriended, in my last run. And again, man, it was just, I can live vicariously through my son. The smile on his face says it all.
Oh, you can see in the pictures, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd do anything to continue to put smiles on his face like that. It's just, it's priceless. Priceless, it really is.
I want to just talk a little bit about WrestleMania for a second. I know you went to go hang around and watch some of it. I saw some of the clips online, and I saw your buddy Brock Lesnar. I saw him running around outside the ring, throwing people through all kinds of things out there. And you've always spoken so highly of Brock. You got a chance to see that match up close?
Yeah. Like I said, it was tough because I feel as though I can be out there and do it, but it's time to pass the torch. But yeah, Brock's the man. He is the main attraction, and he is a man of destruction, and he went out and he did exactly what he normally does. They threw a little bit of a swerve with his UFC deal, and we didn't know he was going to sign back, but that's the beauty of the wrestling world. They always keep you on your toes.
Did he sign back? Like, is he going to do UFC?
Yes, he did.
Again?
Yeah, he signed back with the WWE.
With WWE or UFC?
WWE.
Okay, so he's here now. I gotta just pick on him just a little bit because I know he's a friend of yours. But I saw the clips of him in this match, and I think he kind of needs to work on his cardio. He looked a little gassed.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's really tough out there because there's so many things that play into it. You can get gassed walk into the ring if you're overly excited.
Yeah.
Your cardio prior isn't a real determination of how good a shape you're in because there's so many factors that play into it. But, Brock always goes out there and does what it takes to put on a great show. And his destruction of Roman Reigns was apropos, man. It's just what he does.
Now, in shifting gears a little bit, I saw some clips of Ronda Rousey making a wrestling debut. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you know her at all?
Yeah, I'm very proud of Ronda. I truly believe that her fighting and her Olympic tenure and her MMA fighting was just a conduit to get her to her real love, which was professional wrestling. You saw her ability to go out and perform, and most importantly, you saw the excitement on her face as she couldn't contain it, that she was out there in her element, and she did really, really well. I'm extremely proud of her. And, she's had a tough go at it, and I think she's finally where she belongs.
You know, I saw a couple minutes, 2 or 3 minute clip on the WWE website of her going up against Stephanie McMahon. You're right. She looked like she was having fun and intense. And by the way, lean, looking like some of the best shape she's been in. I don't know the full storyline behind her entry into WWE, but tell me that Ronda or the Rowdy shirt that she had on is some paying an homage to Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I mean, obviously growing up, that was a big influence of hers. She got to spend some time with Roddy, and other than him, I know she was influenced by a lot of other people too, but she paid homage to him. And that match that night was a dedication to him. And she's a good girl, man. She truly is. I spent a lot of time with her behind, the scenes prior to the match, or not a lot of time, but I spent some time back with her, and I'll be posting, probably a video of that, clip of that. But it's cool that she is Ronda Rousey, yet she is so open to help, so open to people giving their opinions, trying to positively influence what she's trying to do. In a business such as the WWE and professional wrestling, it's really tough to differentiate between the people who are telling you the truth, and the people who aren't. And so you take advice from people and you digest it, and you try to decipher at the end of the day what an ulterior motive is, if any. And I'm just really proud of her.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And I know we've been talking a lot about wrestling, but it's a big part of you, and that's what this show is about. It's we talk about cars and stuff all the time, but this is where all this comes. By the way, the cars and stuff that we all play with are a result of the careers that we've had, and your career in WWE and professional football and acting and hosting have sort of led to this car collection, which led to this show, right? So it's fun to kind of touch a little bit on those things and get your thoughts on it. So I appreciate you sharing that. That all being said, you're back home or you just got back home and you've been home for, I don't know, a matter of hours.
Yes. And, a matter of hours. And I still feel like I'm on Bourbon Street. But
maybe a little still hungover.
Well, maybe, yeah, I would say definitely. And let's just say that my sauna and whirlpool will be on high volume this afternoon and within the next 24 hours to get this out of me. But hopefully I'll be cleansed in time enough to get on that plane again and go introduce some drivers at Bristol this weekend.
That's right. You're going to be heading out there, going to some of the races. Do you go with a particular team?
Like, no, absolutely not. I got to be objective. At the end of the day, I have a relationship with a lot of the guys, a lot of the owners. And just like in MMA when I was commentating, man, I have to be objective. I'm a big fan of the sport itself. Everybody knows that Earnhardt Sr. was a huge influence on my life, as well as Junior. And you know, they're Jimmy Johnson, what a hell of a guy. I can go on and on about the character of these drivers and about my relationships with them. But you know, Austin Dillon, he's another one. You know, Chase Elliott. I mean, I have a relationship and a tie to so many people. A lot have been fans throughout the years, and I'm just appreciative of them as athletes to go out there and risk their lives to entertain people and do what they like to do. So, when I'm introducing guys, I can't show too much favoritism, but we all know who I like in the back of my mind.
Now, are you have a role out there at Bristol? Are you going for fun? You're actually doing some work. You're doing some intros. Yeah. Are you doing some pit reporting? Like, what are you going to be doing specifically?
Driver introductions on Sunday.
Nice.
So that's been my responsibility the last 4 years at Bristol, and it's really cool because I started that responsibility prior to going back into the NFL or going back into the WWE, and so they know my feelings I had prior to going back, and now they're going to get my feelings after I went back, and it's a really cool deal. It's kind of like they've been along with my journey the last 5 years.
Yeah,
and it's kind of family, and I'm just praying for no rain this year. I mean, it's been a tough one dealing with Mother Nature going out there to Bristol. So I got my fingers crossed that we're going to have a nice dry race.
Yeah, well, that'll be fantastic. You know, speaking of racing, so as you're listening to this, as everyone is listening to this on Wednesday, we have our second CarCast episode. The one that I do with Adam Carolla comes out on Friday, and this week we have Bobby Rahal and Graham Rahal both coming into the show, which is going to be fantastic because we've never had them both together. And you know, the Paul Newman Porsche 935 that we have in the other room, that Le Mans winning Porsche, that is the winningest or the most race miles on any 935 ever. And it was famously the only car Apple computer sponsored, and Bobby Rahal raced it. He raced the Apple computer.
Wow.
Porsche 935. So we're sort of we've invited him to come by a little bit before the show to come out and check out his old car. You know, we have it in the Hawaiian Tropic Paul Newman livery, but it is essentially his car as well. So we'd like to get some stories about that. And then Thursday night, we'll give you a recap on this as well. Adam and I are going with Bobby Rahal to sit at his table at the Long Beach Grand Prix. They do a big gala event. Parnelli Jones is there. The Gurney family is there. They always like honor a driver, sort of a legacy driver, and Rahal is going to be doing the interviews for that, but Adam are going to be at his table with him for this big event, which is going to be fantastic. So we'll get into a little bit of that on Friday's show, but then on the weekend, I'm going to go down to the Long Beach Grand Prix. Now, I'm not going to introduce drivers like you are, but I am going to drink beer.
So, nice. Well, I'm going to drink beer after I introduce drivers.
Yeah.
After I do the meet and greet and after I finish all my responsibilities as a professional being brought into NASCAR events, you know, yeah, you got to have fun.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, man. Like I said, this last weekend with the Hall of Fame, I get to hang out with guys I haven't seen in such a long period of time, man. That's what it's all about. Life's too short, and we've all worked our asses off to make it to where we are. And it sounds like you guys got an unbelievable show coming up. And talk about,
yeah, it's going to be
about racing royalty, man. That's going to be epic.
It's going to be great. You know, we've Graham Rahal was in our Newman documentary, and Bobby Rahal has been on this show long ago. One of our early guests, probably if we're doing this eight and a half years, he was probably on 7 years ago. And then he and I have just been exchanging a few emails recently. And I said, you know, you guys got to come in. You both should come in and do this and talk a little bit about history and legacy and what's coming up for Graham. You know, Graham is also married to Courtney Force, one of John Force's daughters, and she's just crushing it in NHRA. I think she was in one of the qualifiers this past weekend, but then got knocked out in the final round. But just a racing family now.
No doubt. What a fast family. I thought Wanda and I were pretty quick, but unbelievable, man. It's like you said, it's a hell of a stacked show, and I'd like to be just a fly on the wall and listen to that one.
Well, you can. It'll be up on Friday. It'll be posted on Friday.
I'll be that fly.
You know, this past weekend, NHRA was in Vegas, and they were running four wide in Vegas, and I have yet to see that live, but that has to just be epic, right? Like, it just, I mean, the two wide, when they opened the season in Pomona a few weeks back, I went out there, and as you know, I get to spend some time with Ron Capps, your buddy. And then I went out to the starting line with Jed Coughlin Jr. in his pro stock car, and I'll tell you, it's like you watch it on TV, but when you're standing 10 feet behind that car and that thing launches, it is intense.
You know, and you got 10,000 horsepower pumping, you know, 10 feet away from you. You can't help but to feel it in your spine. I mean, it's people see it and they think, I don't know what they think, but you can never describe that unless you're there. I mean, that's the coolest. One of the coolest racing experiences you could ever have, man. And I've been fortunate enough to be back there with a number of people in the Pentagon and, you know, a number of guys throughout the years. And it's awesome. Now, hey, the four wide, that's pretty gnarly. As a fan sport, that's some serious speed going down there at one time. But as a driver, I'm just curious to see how they feel about it. You know, with four cars on the track, I would imagine it just adds another element to it. But my biggest question is, I heard rumor that they had like a demon shootout out there. Is that the case? Did you see anything about that?
I didn't see anything about it, but that sounds smart, right? That sounds like a good move. They should get some of the demons out there. And I know you're slated at some point, you and Wander are going to go to the Bondurant School for the demon specific program, right? Because when you buy the cars, you can get invited to go. And because you have two cars, that's two tickets. So you and Wander are going to go and duke it out at the Bondurant School. I imagine at that school, there's a drag racing element as well, right?
Absolutely. You know as well as I do that we're gonna set a date, and I don't know why you're removing yourself from this challenge, but I do believe Wanda's gonna emasculate both of us, and so you have to be there so that I'm not the only male that she destroys on the track. Although she doesn't know that, you know, I've been practicing my launch, you know, in the back with Project Jackhammer, so she better call upon some of those innate skills that she's repressed being a stunt woman throughout the years, because I'm gunning for her, man. I'm absolutely gunning for her, and you're going to be there too.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I ran into Pat Bondurant not too long ago during Arizona Auction Week. I was roaming around with my buddy Tyson Sullivan that was here in the studio with us a couple of weeks ago. And Pat is such a sweetheart. I went over and talked to Bob Bondurant and talked to Pat, and she was saying, she's like, we're going to be up and running very soon with our demon program. And this was back in January. I think she said April or something was going to be up and running. So right around this time, she says April or May. She's like, reach out, let me know. She's like, both of you guys, myself and Tyson, were invited. She invited us down to the program. So we might have to plan something that we go out there, and then Wanda can kick the shit out of all three of us.
Absolutely. I think that that would be quite an appropriate setup there. I mean, I do believe if you check the Vegas odds, she's the favorite right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You just gotta worry a little bit, because when we brought the truck over to your house and she drove it, you ended up, you know, buying a truck. So be careful what she drives at the Bondurant School, because you might end up buying another car.
Well, the fortunate thing is that I have everything that the Bondurant School has in my garage except for that Viper, and that's a no-go because I can't fit in the damn thing anymore.
So, but Wanda can.
Yeah, but that's good. That's cool. Yeah, you're a jerk, you know that? Well, I'm going to have to go put some money away right now and see if it can appreciate to the point where I can buy one of those when we go.
I'm just telling you. Hopefully NASCAR is paying you for those introductions because you got to start saving up.
Homie don't work for free. So, yeah, absolutely, man. That's why I do what I do, man, to stack my garage with as many cool things as possible so I can go out and drive my 401k as opposed to just watching it.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, I want to talk a little bit about your cars. But first off, I want to say thanks to a couple of guys that helped us out recently. You know, we've started this show. We've done about 4 or 5 episodes now. And thanks to guys like Mustang360.com. Those are the guys that run Muscle Mustangs and Fast Forwards magazine, Mustang Monthly magazine. Their hub of all their Mustang content is Mustang360.com. And they put a nice shout out about our new podcast. So I appreciate that. And our friends at the DuPont Registry did it as well. So, show them some love, go to their websites, sign up for their newsletters, subscribe to their magazines. They're always producing great new content and you guys are going to dig that. But speaking of Mustang content, you're starting to gear up for your Lawman project. I know we touched on that a little bit and I think we're going to work on getting one of your guys to call in or into the studio to tell us a little bit more about it. But What's the status of the Lawman Mustang? Have you shipped out the car, the engine? Where are we on that?
We are. The engine is crated. The car is sitting safely in Goldberg's garage. And I would say within the next 10 days, it will be picked up, headed in a full complete package out to Scottsdale to start its transformation back to the day, you know. Marcus at Angel Restorations is jumping on board. And like you said, the Mustang Monthly guys are going to feature it. And, at the end of the day, Marcus and I talked about it. This is a car that we have a responsibility to get it out there so as many people can see it as humanly possible. And first and foremost, you know, the clock's ticking on guys getting to view it for one last time that actually were there when it was campaigned over in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And as a true-blooded American like I am, it's my serious duty to get this damn thing out and viewed by as many people as possible. Marcus feels the same exact way, and Mustang Monthly feels the exact same way. And, you know, it's our duty to get it out there. So we're starting the transformation for the Lawman to get back to its original livery. And it's a really exciting project, man. It's just, like I say, as a very patriotic person, this car means everything to me. And the public needs to see it as many times as they can. So we're just prepping it to make that happen.
That sounds great. So we can get Marcus on the show at some point. Maybe we should.
You can get Marcus on the show at any point you want. That's an easy get. Like I said, he's put himself out there. He's jumped on board with the project. Marcus, his reputation speaks for itself. National judge. He is the 429 expert, and the car will be at home basically in his facility.
Do you know how long that project's going to take? Have you guys set a timeline for it?
We really haven't. It's got to be done right. The problem we have right now is that you don't really, you know, with these restorations and forecasting the future, you got to figure out exactly what you want to do so that you don't have to do it again at a later date. But then again, you know, we want to use this car.
Yeah.
This car needs to be driven. So it's a fine line between figuring out whether it's a full nut and bolt or it's a freshen up to prepare it to go out there and be driven. And the nut and bolt will be done at a later date. So it's kind of it's a dichotomy. We're trying to just figure out what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, on that note, is there any updates on Project Jackhammer, your demon project? Where are you with that? I know you've been out of town. You've been traveling and working, so...
The great thing with working and having a lot of stuff to do is that you drop a project off and then you forget about it for 2 or 3 days. You know, it's out of sight, out of mind. And then lo and behold, it's like a year, like a kid in Christmas once you get back. So on the way back this morning from the airport, I text Mr. Richard Waitis.
Yeah, our Magnaflow guy. Yeah.
And I said simply two words, I'm back. So, you know, we've got the headers, and we had a little issue with the installation of the headers in that, you know, we had to check with some technicians over at Dodge to make sure that the computer's going to act properly when we make the addition. And I think that conversation was already made. And I think as we speak, those headers are being installed with the 3-inch exhaust, and we're going to get a tiny bit more horsepower, but most importantly, we're going to get a more menacing growl out of that damn thing.
Oh my God, it's going to be intense. We're going to have to figure out some way to get some video or do some posts with that. We need to start getting some visuals to all these cool projects that we've been working on. So that sounds good.
Absolutely. And another really cool thing video wise is we're going to dyno the damn thing. And we'll shoot video of it. We'll dyno it before the installation and after the installation of the headers. And, it's going to be, you know, I haven't seen another demon on the dyno yet. Nor have I seen another demon with headers on the dyno yet. So, I think it's really cool stuff. You know, we got HRE. I know that when I hang this phone up, I'm going to send a text over to them, and I'm pretty much assuming my wheels are ready, and this thing's coming together, man. I'm very, very excited. Like I said, Bilstein's jumping on board. Nitto's jumped on board. I can't wait, man. It's just really cool. I'm very much looking forward to it, and hopefully it'll be done tomorrow so I can get some more miles on it.
It's funny because people don't usually use the term giddy when they're describing you, Bill, but I can hear it, and I know you, and that's what's happening because it's a fun project, and it makes you giddy. I love what you guys were doing with HRE as well. I know when you guys went down there, they took some measurements, they did some scans and used the ferro arm or whatever to get some 3D scans and stuff, because I don't know that anybody's really... You know, like really made wheels. I'm sure people fitted wheels on there, but never really sort of designed them from scratch to make a set of demon wheels to take advantage of everything that car has to offer. So should be pretty cool.
It's a really, it's a bitching process they go through there. I mean, you can't really appreciate it unless you walk the factory. And I don't know how much of an option that is to the normal Joe, but maybe see video of the place. It's awe-inspiring what they're able to do with these wheels. And in such a short period of time, it's really neat. The options they have and the care that they take. And at the end of the day, man, we can all have sponsors. We can all have relationships with these companies. But what ties us all together and why I greatly appreciate the sponsors that I and you have and the show has is that we're all car guys. Innately, we're just searching for the same thing. Being a member of the Car Society equals us all out, no matter what demo you're from, no matter how much money you got, no matter how much you don't got. At the end of the day, we all have a story about a car. And that's why I love the business so much. And hey, you and I are people from completely different backgrounds. We have different philosophies on things. You're a midget.
The phone cut out right when you called me a midget. That's what happens in the studio. There's a built-in filter for that kind of stuff. Did we lose you?
There you are. I'm here. It's really cool, man. And I've met a lot of wonderful people, you know, around the world. And like I said, it evens everyone out.
Yeah.
We're able to talk about it on an even plane, whether it's Leno, you know, whether it's Bondurant, whether it's Force, whether it's Bernstein, whether it's Caps. You know, hey, Perdome called me yesterday and asked me about the demon and how it was going. And
you should have heard the giddiness in his speech and his voice. And we're talking about a guy who was one of the fastest guy in the world at one point.
Yeah.
And this is a production car that's evoking the feelings from a guy who's done what he's done on the drag strip, and that's unbelievable. And I'm just happy to be able to share it with him.
I want to quickly tell you about Dodge. There is one good thing that comes from daylight savings, and it's the Dodge Spring Sales Event. Dodge Charger, on the road and the pump, with 300 horsepower and 30 miles per gallon. Dodge Challenger, take the streets by storm with the most affordable V8 in its class. The Dodge Durango, with all-wheel drive availability, April showers won't have your tires spinning unless you want to. Dodge Journey, maximize your adventures with the most powerful three-row all-wheel drive vehicle in its class. Hurry into your Dodge dealership and start your introduction to the Brotherhood of Muscle. You mentioned HRE Wheels and taking a tour of their facility, and I remember seeing an email the other day. HRE Wheels is having their annual open house event. It's June 2nd. It's at their headquarters in Vista, California. You can tour the facility, see how they make the wheels, see the powder coating facility, everything they have there. They're going to have cars, music, raffles, prizes, giveaways. I think they're giving away a set of forged wheels with a charity raffle. So if you really do kind of want to get in there and see what they do, June 2nd, check out HREWheels.com. I'm sure there's some information there. We haven't really talked about it or made a plan for it or if we're going or what the deal is. But since we're talking about it and we love those guys, I wanted to throw out that event.
The only bad part about you throwing that event out is that it sounds like that may be the timing when my wheels are done.
Well,
it seems apropos for advertising.
Right? It might be. So, I mean, I can't say, but maybe you could check out Goldberg's car June
2nd. It's quite possible.
It's possible.
I don't know.
The advantage is it's not too far out of town. So, if you're in town and I'm in town and nobody's super busy traveling around, I'd like to make it down there. If not, we'll figure out something. We're definitely getting it.
Let's just put it this way. I'm slated to be in New York that weekend, but I can guarantee you that my car will be there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So, HRE, if you're listening, there you go. Make sure Goldberg's car is going to be there. He's going to be out of town. So let's check that out. All right. Well, we're gonna wrap some things up. I was gonna give an update on the Mustang Cobra.
Please do. I want to hear, man.
It's been crazy. We've been busy the past few weekends, and I only get a chance to work on it on the weekends. I know so many people comment all the time, why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? It's because I'm trying to do all the work myself for the most part, a little bit of help from the guys in the shop and a couple vendors. But I only got time on the weekends to go and do it. And again, it's like now Long Beach Grand Prix is coming up, and so I'm going to go there Saturday, and then I'll try to get in the shop on Sunday. But as you guys know, we've got this 93 Mustang Cobra. It's got a 331 stroker motor in it. It's got the original GT40 heads fully ported, the original Cobra intake fully ported. And I'm fitting a ProCharger supercharger on it. I got a D1 SC, which I love. This thing is badass. It's going to be awesome. But as I put it together, I didn't like all the factory accessories, the giant AC compressor. I didn't like the way the brackets worked because some of the brackets were like stamped steel. It just looked messy. So I reached out to my friends at Eddie Motorsports. I looked at their front engine serpentine belt system. I liked the packaging. It's got a little tiny peanut AC compressor. It's got a high output alternator. The kit comes with everything. So what they did is I got a kit from them. I got it all in just raw aluminum so I can mess around with it. I got it all mounted, and then I made a jig. If you check out my Instagram or any of my social media, all at Motorator, you'll see a photo where I posted of the engine compartment, and there's a metal bar going across the engine compartment, and that's a jig that we made that allows us to move the supercharger. It hangs on this metal bar, and I can move it up, down, left, and right, forward, back. I can move the supercharger anywhere I want as we design new custom mounting brackets for the supercharger. And what I'm hoping is that at some point, if you want to supercharge your small block Ford in anything, your hot rod or whatever, Eddy Motorsports might be able to offer you this package once it's done. I'm helping to R&D it. And if they like it, I think they may offer it. We're working on a new a pulley system and brackets for the supercharger. And the way we're doing it is very minimal. Like, it's not going to be a crazy bracketry, and I'm making it as compact as possible so it would fit in a number of different vehicles, maybe old
and less is
trucks.
More.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm telling you,
and it's a great application. It's beautiful. I've seen your updates.
Hey, thank you.
It's a very clean application. It's gorgeous.
And I think thank you for that. And I think it's going to be in killer. And but it is taking a lot of R&D. I've made four or five different cardboard templates for the brackets already, and to kind of come up with what I like. And I'm close to where I am now. We're going to start moving to like foam core, so we can start making some more measurements with it, and then maybe we'll do wood, and we'll CNC some wood or carve some wood up to make the templates for the metal brackets. But it's going to be cool. And what's great is not everything is more compact toward the engine, you know, toward the sides, but that whole Eddy Motorsports system brought all of the accessories closer to the engine by about an inch and a half. So that creates more space between the radiator and the engine. And what that does...
And what does the car guy want in his engine compartment? More space to work around.
Yeah, that, and now I can run like thicker radiator fans, or I can run dual fans. I can start controlling that aspect of it because there wasn't a lot of room in between the engine and the radiator. And
at the end of the day, it gives you options. You know, that's the best part. You're not bound to one system or one setup, because now you got the room. Now you have the ability to do what you want.
And you're absolutely right. And when this thing is done, all of that stuff is going to go back to Eddy Motorsports. They have in-house powder coating, and they're going to powder coat everything in a black or a textured black to match everything. So it's going to look fantastic when it's done. And by the way, all brand new components. And one of the weak links in these Mustangs is the power steering pump. So we custom mounted a KRC power steering pump and remote reservoir. So everything's going to just be 100% new and functional, this thing. I'm kind of, I need like a deadline, like an incentive to get it done. I'd love to take this thing to SEMA this year. I just got to find somebody that wants a Mustang in a SEMA booth. So anybody's interested in a Mustang, give me a call, let me know. And this thing's going to be badass. And we haven't even gotten to it. We're going to run out of time, but wait till I tell you about the Ram Air induction system that I've made. It's not really induction, a Ram Air system using the fog lights to go to twin intercoolers for the supercharger. And when you usually mount
sounds
the big...
interesting, and it sounds something like the Demon does.
It kind of does. Yeah, you've got the, through the lights, you got sort of that induction system. I don't know if that goes to the intercooler or into the induction for the engine. I think that's engine induction on the Demon.
Induction for the engine, yeah.
Yeah. This one, I'm going to go to the intercoolers, so I get pretty much, if the car is moving, it'll get pretty much 100% efficiency out of the intercoolers, because it's completely ramming air in there. Most of the intercoolers, these air-to-air intercoolers, it's a big unit sort of behind the bumper, and maybe the bumper blocks about 40% of it, and it just sort of gets surrounding air and ambient air. This is not going to do that. This is taking 6-inch ducts, siphoning down to 4-inch and ramming it 100% of that air into twin intercoolers. I'll show you guys more about it. What's cool is we had the front of the car scanned, and I'm 3D printing honeycomb grills to make that happen.
Nice.
So it's going to be a nice little piece. I'll show all you guys and Bill, when you're back in here, I'll show you. I'll bring in one of the 3D pieces. They can 3D print it in plastic, but they can do sort of a rough version of it, you know, sort of a textured rough version of it. And then the final version gets done at a kind of a smooth OE looking plastic, like you'd find on the front of most cars, but you can do sort of rough versions of it at the time. So it's going to be kind of a badass deal. But
see, that's neat, because that's what Magnaflow did with the collectors on the Demon. They 3D printed them. I went in and checked them out, you know, obviously the first one made. And the ability to do what they do with these 3D printers is absolutely amazing.
It really is. And now that they're more readily available and so many companies have them and they're getting used to scanning things, there's laser scanning, there's photo scanning, and the CAD software to make these things happen. Like, these guys can turn this stuff around pretty quickly at a cost that's so much easier. I'm looking forward to when 3D printing in metal, that's available now. When that becomes a little more affordable, a little more mainstream, there's some really cool pieces that we'd like to just print in metal. Maybe not super load-bearing, but definitely cosmetic pieces, grill pieces, things like that. It could be very, very cool printed in metal. But in the meantime, this is a perfect application because these grills go in the fog light. It's got a honeycomb style. It's exactly what you'd expect on an OE. A modern day car, the way we have sort of these different honeycomb grills and black plastic trim pieces. It's that. So it's going to have the same thickness, tensile strength of an OE piece, and it's going to look sweet. It's going to be the only Fox body with that. So I don't know.
It's funny how I can sit here and listen to these details, and as a car guy, get so excited off of some small. Small loads of information.
I'm telling you, I've been geeking out. I have 3D renderings of the grills and stuff, and it's like the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever.
Cool.
I love them. All right, so listen, we're done here, Bill. Thanks so much for calling in. Great recap. I'm so glad you guys had a fun time in New Orleans. Congratulations on your Hall of Fame induction for WWE. Well deserved, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. And before we get out of here, I'd be remiss if I didn't, with the Long Beach Grand Prix coming up, not throw a story out real quick.
Yeah, do it.
When I was driving in it, and I got a tenth of a second off of winning the pole, and we went ahead and started the race, and I think on the fourth or fifth lap, I blew the transmission in the car and came to a stop up against the wall, jumped out, and forearmed the side mirror and broke my arm.
Oh, my gosh.
And didn't tell anybody. It's kind of like my story last night or the other night about punching my door in the locker room and breaking my hand. Well, I did the same thing. And I took the side view mirror off, but broke my arm, went back into the pits, and I have my arms crossed, and my agent looks at me, and he goes, "Damn, you know, I'm sorry you wrecked. I wish you would have won. You know, you were doing well." And I said, "Well, I broke my arm."
Oh, my God.
You should have seen the look on his face. And, you know, we went up underneath and went to the hospital, and bing, bang, boom, healed up, and look where I am now. But, yeah, it's a nice little backstory that nobody really knows about until now.
I'm sensing a trend, though. You broke your arm punching the Long Beach Pro Celebrity Race car. You broke your hand punching a locker. You broke your toes twice kicking the bag at your gym.
Yeah, well, on to the next episode.
Right? All right, buddy.
I'm my own worst enemy. Well, I love you, man. I'll be in studio soon, man. Thanks for everybody listening. And I'll keep the car stuff. I'm going out to drive the demon.
All right, man. Have fun at Bristol. And for Bill Goldberg, and I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Kaylin in the booth filling in for Chris now. We'll see you next week. Keep the air and the spare and the bag and the wheel.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.